end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Hello, welcome to the Dolphin UK podcast. We've had a bit of a break. We all enjoyed watching England do well, as the Dolphins are going to do this year. So we'll have a chat about that in a minute. Of course, Wales did all right as well, and in the Euros, and Scotland did all right. Got a big 0-0 win against the English as well. So well done to any of our Scottish followers. I'm sure you enjoyed it just as much as Si and I did. Si, how you doing, mate? You obviously went to a game. How was that for you?
Yeah, good, Andy. It was really good, actually. It was a good experience. And we went to the aforementioned Scotland game, myself and my son, and it was a good experience. Shame about the result, with Scotland managing to snatch a 0-0. But to be part of the Euros was pretty awesome, especially for my son, who's only 10. He thoroughly enjoyed it, despite the scoreline. So, good experience. Game could have been better, of course.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of a month, wasn't it? And that just kind of captures what sport means to you, doesn't it? So, like, it was like the ups and downs were so kind of steep and so deep on the downside thing. So yeah, it's just like watching the Dolphins week in, week out, and that kind of final almost felt like that Bills game at the end of last year when we built it up so much and glorious defeat, we'll call it. Lee, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I think the most important thing is, none of us here actually put the winner of the Euros, right?
I can't remember what I said. I think I said Italy, didn't I?
Yeah. You did say Italy.
Did you say Italy? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought you said Belgium.
Yeah, I said Belgium. And I think you said England, didn't you, Lee?
No, I said Spain.
You said Spain.
Almost. Okay. Oh, we all did all right then.
We went a long way.
I put £10 on it. Like, all my mates were like, you can't have a bet on Italy going into the finals. So I didn't cash out though. So at least I still won £100 despite our defeat. So a small token of the other way. But never mind. Right, got some Miami Dolphins to talk about. It's been a few weeks. It's been quite a long off season. It feels like, compared to last year when we were all in lockdown, and you know there was a buzz about it, and it was all every day and that sort of thing. So everything's going a bit back to normal, I guess, slowly. And we start off again, guys, with Xavier Howard. I just wanted to bring up to kick us off today. Obviously, that's the talk of the town at the moment. He's holding out, so it seems, and not turned up to any of the Dolphins' workouts, etc. so far. So I'll turn it your way to start with, mate. I mean, what's your feelings on the situation? Obviously, it looks like he's playing, well, he is holding out for a bit more money. Should we pay him?
As a fan... purely as a fan, you want the best players on your team, and he is on our team. So as a fan, I'd say, yeah, give him the money. The money's not ours. I don't care about the money. Nothing to do with me. So just pay him what he wants and keep him on the team. Because like I say, you want the best players on your team. But as a fan, of course, but a Dolphins front office member like Chris Greer isn't going to see it that way. He's going to look at it purely from a business perspective. And I can understand from his point of view why they wouldn't give him the money, because they have only just done it, basically. So it feels to me as though it's not going to end well for anybody. They ought to get together to resolve the situation so that everybody comes out with whatever they want, whether it's an extended contract or keep him on the roster. But it doesn't feel as though that's actually going to happen, especially with regards to his cryptic Instagram posts the other day. I don't really know what he could have achieved by posting something like that other than winding up the fan base, because it's not a new story for the media, really, because they know what's going on. It's not new for the Dolphins because they knew what's going on. So that cryptic Instagram post did nothing except wind the fan base up and get them talking more rubbish, as they have done about it all off season. So
that's it.
But then again, there's no smoke without fire and all of that. So who knows?
Yeah, that's it. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I'm in the place where if we can get good compensation, I'm kind of happy to move on, but it feels a bit like throwaway, that does, because you just don't really get these players come through Miami often. They were kind of Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber guys. And it feels, I mean, to me, Lee, I don't know about you, I'll come to you in a second, but I don't know about, like, if it's just trying to get above Byron Jones in terms of earnings, that's not a lot of money, really, in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, it is to the layman, but in terms of football talk, that extra million or 2 million to lift him to the highest paid guy, I mean, surely that's worth it, Lee, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I would 100% say it's worth it. It's... These players don't come along. I think it's a very different conversation if you were on a team that doesn't have a star corner, and you're talking about acquiring one. It's easy for us to talk about it because we have at least two very good corners on this roster. I can certainly understand from Xavier Howard's point of view wanting more money. You know, if you see what they paid for Byron, and Byron historically doesn't get interceptions. We know, you know, everyone's game's quantified slightly differently. It's not necessarily, you know, exactly the be all and end all for Byron Jones. He does a lot of other things, certainly very well. I mean, that's how you get paid that much money. But these players don't come around. I think it's very easy to think in terms of, oh, what can we get for him? I think. Teams with kickers are very much the same. If you've got a kicker, you don't want to pay them because you think it's easy to get a kicker. And if you haven't got a kicker, you'll pay one. See Cody Parkey. Do you know what I mean? There's a reason the Bears paid him, because they couldn't get a kicker for love nor money. They couldn't get that kicking game straight. Whereas we were happy to let him walk because we seem to have a conveyor belt of kickers coming through. It just feels like that. I think there's a middle ground somewhere where you can get this resolved, whether it's moving some more money up front, you know, whatever it is. It's difficult because if the Dolphins say to Xavier Howard, we've paid you, he's going to say, well, look at what I've done since. And they can't really talk that down, because that's the exact same pitch they're going to give somebody else when trying to get maximum compensation. So...
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? It's really like, yeah, it's an intriguing one. I mean, I guess, like I said, I'm kind of okay with the trade if it happens. But Si, what do you reckon? Like, if we did go down that route, what for you? What is fair compensation?
You've got to look at something like Jalen Ramsey went for what, 2 first round picks. Now, given the fact that Xavier Howard is older by a few years, he's got a history of knee trouble. He used to have some off the field issues, although they seem to have disappeared. I don't think you can hope for as much as what Jalen Ramsey fetched. So it's certainly going to be less than 2 first round picks. It's got to be a first rounder though, because you are trading for a Pro Bowl or player. So you've got to give something. You're not going to have something for nothing. But then you've got to look at it from the point of view of other teams who want to take the problem away from the Dolphins. So that could offset the potential compensation in terms of trade picks as well. So it's a difficult one to judge fairly, but the market is what the market is. So whatever teams offer, that's his going rate.
That's it. And
see Byron Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, Lee, I mean, Stephon Gilmore sat there apparently kind of on the market as well, obviously a bit older than Howard and a bit more banged up. But is that going to, do you think that would hamper a trade market if a team wants to kind of win now? They could get Gilmore cheaper than Howard. And, you know, what impact is that going to have?
So I think, certainly it works against us. You know, all of a sudden, there's more than one Pro Bowl caliber, all Pro caliber corner on the market. And if one's cheaper than the other, why would you pay the Dolphins ransom when you can pay the ransom to what on paper is a team perhaps maybe in more of a rebuild mode than Miami, even though it is the Patriots and Bill Belichick. I understand all that stuff, but you take them based on where the roster sits right now. They're in a bit of flux in New England. And maybe I'd rather send my capital there where the pick isn't as high, you know, where if I can get something back in return, if I can give up high picks and get a late pick back as well, you know, it might be in my favor to do that rather than strengthening a team which seems to be only ascending right now. So I don't think that's in our favor. I'm also, the more we've spoken about it now, the more vigorously I would just be against it. Find a way to fix it. because if you could, you know, I fail to believe that Chris Greer and Brian Flores, who plans everything meticulously, whose game plans we've seen are adaptable, who can do all these things. There's no way they could not have seen this as a possible bump in the road when they signed Byron Jones a year ago. If anything, this is the ideal situation. You bought in another top corner, you paid him top money, and then the corner you had on your team performed even better. So surely that's the goal, isn't it? Like, when we bring in rookies, it's to push vets, and if they're better, then replace them. You know, I think the ideal would be for one of the young corners on this roster to make Xavier Howard expendable next season, when he could be traded before the draft, when you can get that instant return. Because anything you get now is really sitting on, you know, waiting for next year's draft. And I don't think we're in that sort of mode right now. It's different when you do it with like a Laramie Tunsil closer to the season. But for
that's an interesting point, because, and I was going to come on to this, obviously there's been like people banding around trades where the Dolphins add to Howard and go and get another player. So I know that you don't really like it, but someone like an Aaron Rodgers, I'm all in. I'm just going to put my cards on the table early. If Dolphins get Aaron Rodgers, I don't care what it costs. But if you go and you go, here's Howard and here's some of our future picks or whatever, give us another very, very good player at whatever position. Does that kind of appeal to your side? Does that kind of show that forward thinking, that kind of desire to win now?
It does, but you've got to get the right player in return. And I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers is that right player. I mean, that tweet that you shared within our group the other day, I didn't particularly like the offer, which was, if I remember rightly, it was Aaron Rodgers in exchange for Xavier Howard, 22 first round, 23 first round, and 22 second round. That, to me, was too steep a price to pay for Aaron Rodgers. So you've got to get the right compensation. You've got to get the right player in return. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, of course, he's a great player, but he's 37 and he's got, what, one, two or three years left?
And three Super Bowl wins, though. Three Super Bowl wins in a row. Well, that's perfect.
You say that. He's been playing in he's only got to one Super Bowl with the Packers, and most of those Packers teams, you would argue, are better than what the Dolphins have got now. So he can't get his teams to the Super Bowl. So why would he be able to all of a sudden do that with the Dolphins when he's up against the likes of Mahomes and co in that conference? So I'm not sure. Whilst Aaron Rodgers would make the team better in like the very, very short term, I'm not sure it's in the best interest of the franchise long term, because you're also giving up four marquee players potentially in those picks and Xavier Howard for a player that's not going to be around for much longer. So I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers is that right player. I just needed to get that off my chest, Andy, because I know you like that trade offer, but I hated it. So it's all about the right player in return, for sure.
Yeah, what about you, Lee? Are you kind of thinking assets rather than picks for Howard?
I don't know what assets you're going to get for him. Because if you're trading into a team, it's to a team that thinks they can win. So they're not going to be willing to give up the Xavier Howard equivalent. What, do you want the Xavier equivalent center? Why would they give that up? Because they're creating another hole as well. I just don't see a world in which it makes sense, after a draft, to do this. Just to touch on the Aaron Rodgers thing quickly, I've got nothing against Aaron Rodgers. You know exactly where I'm going to go with this, but it's kind of similar to Deshaun Watson. But I actually think he's less of an option than Deshaun Watson, because they're just disgruntled stars elsewhere. If he wants more say and more input in Green Bay, you think he's going to get it in Miami? It doesn't matter that he's Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady struggled to get exactly what he wanted in New England. This is, you know, we've seen this sort of behavior from this front office. I don't think he's the right fit. I understand the appeal for sure. I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers, going in the Hall of Fame. But I also appreciate what Simon's saying. You know, how many you've got to the Super Bowl as many times as Jared Goff has. I don't want Jared Goff either. He was available. So
should have got Matt Stafford though. Sorry, I'll stop. I mean, yeah, all your points are good as always. But those possible, I don't know. I just think that would elevate us the extra mile. But Aaron Rodgers isn't the point here, is he really? So we'll let that one lie. The only other thing I wanted to bring up quickly, sorry, I'll punt it your way. Our friend of the pod, Jason Sarney, brought up today saying that if you are going to trade him, why not let him hold out for training camp? First couple of the weeks of the season, someone's star cornerback's going to go down and then you'll be able to get more compensation there. What do you reckon to that?
Yeah, well, we know that Chris Greer has never been fleeced in a trade, given, and he's got a really good track record. So you know that if there is a team that gets to that point and they're desperate, you know, I'd rather have Chris Greer in my corner fleecing some team for as much comp as you can possibly get from some team that is desperate. So, yeah, I fully understand where Jason's coming from there.
Yeah, interesting all round then. Well, we'll just see how it plays out. It might be resolved tomorrow. It might be resolved in a couple of months, Quanley.
I think the other thing is we need to stop getting hooked into every time someone posts a story saying Xavier Howard's not happy. Well, he wasn't happy 2 months ago. He's not going to be happy now because nothing's changed. That's not news. That's just regurgitating the same stuff. Like, until something changes in his contract, he's not going to be happy. So, you know, I think that's much about nothing. I mean, I'm not necessarily against it. If you want to go that route, call his bluff. Let him sit out. Claim, find the money back from him. You know, get some of that money back. Then, you know, if he really wants to be traded, fine. But we saw a very similar situation a few years ago with Rashard Jones. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, you can sit out for so long, but then you've also got to be willing to show, if you want the Dolphins to show some good faith, which they did by paying you when you were injured, you also have to show that good faith by turning up as well, even if it's during negotiations. You can still talk, you know, and get it sorted, hammered out. You know, if you're in training camp and you turn up, but then things melt down to a stage where you want, you know, they decide to trade you, you're still going to get traded. It's not, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And then I'm just looking through the list of free agent cornerbacks out there at the moment. There's not a lot on the market, is there? Which is, obviously, until this week, you'd have said Richard Sherman was the top one on there. But obviously, that's currently not going anywhere. People like Nickell, Roby Coleman, and stuff like that, isn't there? So that's not great, even if you did want to bring in a quick replacement. Sorry, Simon.
Yeah, I don't think they need to worry about or looking for a free agent replacement because they've got an abundance of cornerbacks on their roster already. Let one of them step up. You've got Noah Igbinoghene, you've got Justin Coleman, who's on the roster, who are there to prove themselves. Give them a chance to prove themselves. And ideally, what you want is for any potential holdout by Xavier Howard to backfire, because it means that those corners, those young corners, have grabbed that opportunity and stepped up into the role. And that's what you want, because you want them to perform and to develop. So ideally, you'd want that holdout to backfire on Xavier Howard. And obviously, he'd have to deal with the consequences as a result of that. So I don't think they need to worry about the free agent market because they've got enough on their roster now already, I believe.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think Igbinoghene especially is actually really intriguing this year, isn't it? Because a lot of people seem to have written him off already. Can't expect a guy to come in, pick up the NFL that quickly with no off-season, all that sort of business. And when you've got people like Devonta Smith saying hardest cornerback to play against in college football, there's definitely talent, isn't there? And like I must admit, I occasionally forget it, but that's like a really exciting young player. Lee, I mean, what would you like to see from him if Howard does kind of sit out or move on? Like what's kind of, you know, year two like for him?
This very much may have been in the Dolphins' thinking when they signed Byron Jones last year. You know, if Noah had looked better last year, maybe they traded Xavier Howard already. You know, because we could all see when they made that signing last year that having two players on the books earning that much money at the same position is really a short-term thing. I'd love to see it play out as long as possible. Hey, you know, Brian Flores loves corners, but there's a reason they keep drafting corners. You know, there's a reason they've got so many on the roster. He's trying to develop one as well. I think that's protection in case Xavier gets hurt. But also, you know, if one of them does look great, then it makes it easy to move on from him. I do find I'm guessing it's all teams, but I really only kind of follow Dolphins fans. But the sort of jumping off this Noah train so quickly, and there's like he had one bad game. Yeah, for some reason, we're penciling people into, you know, people are putting their rosters together and they're writing in pen players that played a handful of snaps last year, like they're the second coming. It's like, so how does that happen? Yet Noah was up and down. He also played some games where he played well. You know, it wasn't all bad. Yes, the first game was bad. He was thrown in at the last second. You know, Byron Jones was hurt. You know, wasn't he hurt in pre-game?
Yeah.
For that Bills game.
Snap of the game, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and then he had to cover Stephon Diggs. Okay, so he struggled. Like, I'm not going to try and, you know, try and soften that at all. You know, he did struggle. He got torched. But he also showed much improvement after that. Yeah, we've got players that struggled to get in the team. And when they were in the team, took a handful of snaps all season. Yeah, people are penning those into the roster above players like an Albert Wilson. Do you know what I mean? I find, you know, it's funny. I think fans, you know, we're probably the same, you know, but as fans, we can be very fickle about this stuff.
I was going to say, you could lift everything you just said and put it on the England team for the last month, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Pick a player. That's why he should be starting. Yeah. Jack Grealish. Yeah.
Don't get me started about commentators again.
Go on, Si. Take us away.
I was going to say, England like corners as well, don't they?
Yeah, but not scoring from them this time. Yeah.
Just wanted to pick up on something you said, Lee. We've all been banging on around on previous podcasts a lot, and so does everyone else around, to not having a pre-season, not having a training camp, not having OTAs. You have to remember that the same applies to Noah Igbinoghene as well. But and he's also the youngest player in the NFL, isn't he, at 20? So you've got to consider all of that in terms of his development. So for those to knock him, they can't be two-faced about it, because he's in the same boat as Tua. So now is his opportunity, yeah, when he has all of those things he didn't have last year, to maintain that development and step up.
We just have to look a bit bigger picture with some of the players. You know, it's not all about, yeah, you know, you'd love to go out and see him perform like when Byron Jones went down, play just like Byron Jones to start with, but, you know, that's probably unrealistic.
Yeah, it's not how it works, is it? Right, it's enough cornerback chat, but that was really good, actually. Nice to get into it and just break it down a bit. Really interested to see what happens next. We'll move on to a bit more positive stuff then. We're just, for you guys listening, really want to look at the kind of games that we're looking forward to this year. Obviously, there's a few notable ones. The London game, jumping off the board immediately, of course. But yeah, Si, I'll chuck it over your way to start with. Like, just talk us through a game that you're looking forward to, you know, tell us why, and then we'll go back and forward on that a bit.
I think the Ravens on the Thursday night game is going to be a really good benchmark to see where this team is at, because the Ravens traditionally are a bit of a bogey team for the Dolphins, and with potentially, obviously, the best roster on paper that we've had in a long, long while. We all know how the game against the Ravens turned out when we played them on the opening weekend or the second weekend?
Yeah,
I can't remember now. When they absolutely torched us with Lamar Jackson. So that'll be a really, really good benchmark, I think, to see where that team is at. I can't remember what week it is. Is it middle of the season-ish?
It's week 10, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on a short week. It's on a Thursday night after playing the Texans.
So national TV spotlight, Ravens at home. Coming off, hopefully, you'd like to think, a victory against the Texans the week before. I think that is a real good one to keep an eye on for in terms of how it's their off season or the postseason outlook is going to end up being.
I think that's a really great game to pick, because, like you say, historically they've given us some whoopings, you know, and I can only remember once since being a fan, twice since being a fan, watching the Dolphins beat the Ravens. There's the overtime win with Greg Camarillo in 2007, I want to say. Yeah, 2008, 2007. Yeah, 2007, wasn't it? And then there was the game with Devontae Parker, had a crazy catch in the end zone. He got upended. But I believe Joe Flacco got hurt very early in the game. We're actually playing against a backup. So, you know, I think this is going to be really interesting to see how deep this rebuild is, because under Adam Gase, the year we went to the playoffs, we played the Ravens and got absolutely embarrassed. And I believe it was a Monday night game. You know, and it just proved that although we were a playoff team and, you know, we were a winning team, we were beating bad teams to get there, you know, and that wasn't really a sustainable way to build a team. I think it'd be very interesting to see Brian Flores and how far this team has come. I mean, you can still lose a game and come out of it saying that this is a vast improvement from anything we've seen before. It's not all about, you know, just winning, but we can't get embarrassed again.
And I don't think they will. I think this team now are good enough to compete with the Ravens.
Yeah.
They'll have that home advantage. They'll have under the lights at Hard Rock. There's no better game to look to prove yourselves that you are genuine contenders. So I don't think they'll get embarrassed again. And of course, we don't know how the Ravens are going to perform this season as well. So it's all hypothetical right now, of course.
Yeah, for me, there's two matchups in that game which are going to be like you say, aside bang in the middle of the season, it's going to be really interesting to see how we're doing and judge it against how we do it in those matchups. So for one, they've got one of the better secondaries in the league, in the same as us, with Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters. Our wide receiver core, by then, you'd like to think if everyone's healthy, they'll have found their rhythm with Tua. It'd be good to see how Waddle does over the middle there and Parker on the outside. So that'd be a really interesting one. And the other one would be how their run game goes against our defensive line, which is obviously at points last year, we were worried about that. Raekwon Davis seemed to step up and steady the ship a bit. So when Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins and Lamar are running, it'd be really, really interesting to see, because we struggled with running quarterbacks at times last year, didn't we? And you can't like duck away from that whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, mate, I've got that one written down. So I said to you before, I think I've got one that you're not going to pick, and you've picked it. So there you go. That is always the way. And so I'm going to go to Lee next for his game when I scroll the schedule.
So obviously Jacksonville, you know, is an interesting game because it's over here. But the one I'm actually picking is one, and I've forgotten what week it is now, but the one late in the season against the Titans. It's the second last week of the season.
Yeah.
In Tennessee. If you want a true measuring stick of how far this team has come, go and play your old quarterback who's been playing winning football ever since he left. If you want to find out what sort of offseason we're going to have, lose to Ryan Tannehill late in the season and miss the playoffs, and next offseason will be hell. So I see that as quite a big game, actually. I think it's interesting with obviously two ex-Patriot coaches going up against each other as well. Julio Jones against our secondary. You know, Derrick Henry, you know, like you say, we've been scared about running backs. I just think that's going to be that could be a pivotal game as well late in the season. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned Julio Jones, but also AJ Brown. And that'll be, if Howard has gone, that'll be a hell of a day for whoever's stepping up into that number two corner role, won't it? And as they rotate, they've got arguably the best two wide receivers in the league on one roster. It's going to be very, very exciting to watch us try and stop those guys. Si, anything that Titans game that you'd be looking for?
Wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing the Titans again in the playoffs. So that could be a playoff preview game, if you like. But the Titans are looking good this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually fighting for home field advantage at that stage with the firepower they've got, especially on offense. And like you say, the strength of their offense, fortunately, at the moment, matches up with the strength of our defense. So you'd like to think that they could compete there. But it's intriguing, isn't it? But again, it's all hypothetical because you don't really know how the season's going to turn out. We're only looking at what we think is going to happen on paper right now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how many 17 shirts are in the stadium, won't it? Obviously, a lot of people got those from the last few years of that. So it'll be interesting to see if people are still wearing those by that point.
Isn't Waddle 17?
I think he is, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So there would be lots of 17s then.
Yeah. I wonder if people are doing the whole thing where you're like press it and take the old name off. And
yeah,
it seems like a lot of work to me, but fair enough if that's the way you want to do it. My game then, having been gazumped by your side, is going to be the week before the Titans, and that's the Saints game. I really love Christmas week football every year. You know, when you kind of probably got a couple of days off from work, you can stay up, and this one's a 1:15 game, so you can stay up and watch it live. There's that kind of festive feel in the air, and then all your family think you're mad because you're sitting down at 1:15 in the morning to watch a game of American football. So that's what I love about it. And I also think that the Saints aren't going to be as bad as some people seem to think they're going to be this year, judging by the frame behind me. I think Jameis Winston's going to be a hit there. I'm not just saying that, I think he is. And so that will be quite an interesting one. That'll be like another sort of measuring stick, like you say, with the Titans. I think we're the better team, but they've still got some incredibly good players. And in terms of receiver cornerback matchups, Michael Thomas, man, loads of people sleeping on Michael Thomas after last year's like injury and basically a non-year for him. But he's going to come back with a vengeance, I think. So that'll be a really, really big test for our secondary. Yeah. Any thoughts on that game? Go on.
Yeah. I think that game falls right into the same ilk as the Baltimore game. That's a team that, I mean, I've been a fan since 2005, which is also the last time we beat the Saints. That's a team that historically, I mean, there was the game, the Ricky Williams game where he went off, he went crazy. And I'm just pulling up the score here. It was 0-9. But we still ended up going on to lose that game after taking a massive lead in the game. And then since then, we've been beat 38-17 and 20-0. And I believe the 20-0 was a Ryan Tannehill game on a Monday night. You know, again,
that was in London, wasn't it?
That was the London one. It was the one before. Yeah. The one before was the Monday night game, which was 17-38. Do you know what I mean? And we, again, embarrassed on national TV by a team we don't see very often. It just, to me, falls into that same sort of, you want to prove that this is different. These are the teams to beat. Expected to go and beat the Jets. And expected to beat the Bengals. Go and beat some of these teams now. Then I think we're really talking.
Yeah, that's it. And then we'll finally be done with the whole Drew Brees to the Dolphins narrative. Instead, it'll be Jameis Winston could have come to the Dolphins. So yeah, that could have been our future there.
You need to swap those frames around, Andy. You need to
I know, but I am a big fan of, for the college podcast I do, this is the best college quarterback of all time. So there you go. That's a hard fact. what was I going to say on that one? I think as well, it'd be really, that's another one of those run games, which is going to be, like we've said it about all three teams that we've mentioned, but the Alvin Kamara is obviously one of, if not the best running, like multi-purpose running back in the league. So that'll be another one that, whereas one guy could literally torch us. So very keen to see how, especially how our linebacking core match up against him as well, which is, I think, one of the more underrated parts of our defense, isn't it? So, yeah, I guess we'll see. Go on, Lee.
I don't think it's a coincidence that the teams we've picked there are all good teams, are all playoff teams, are all teams that are going to contend. It's not a surprise that they've all got good run games, because you don't tend to be good teams on paper, at least even on paper at this stage, without being somewhat complementary across the pass and run. You know, I don't think that's a coincidence.
What does that make us? Does that make us a good team?
That is why I'm so scared about the run game. This is why I was so hard on an RJ. RJ train, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm eating these words later in the season, because it means we're good, and then everything's good.
All right, man. That is it. We'll talk about that in a couple of episodes' time, I guess, as we break down the positions. But yeah, that is one that I'm a bit worried about. We'll go around again then, lads. I mean, we've also got some games that we're all looking to go to. Don't know whether you want to talk through them a bit. Hopefully, in a pandemic world, we'll be able to go. At the moment, I'm not entirely sure. Hope people haven't booked the first couple of games of the season, because that isn't looking too likely. But be good to just kind of break down it if you looking to go to any other than the Jags game. Obviously, I can kick it off. I'm obviously looking to go to the Giants game, which is later in the season in December. For me, the Giants always been one of those teams that I've enjoyed watching. I enjoyed watching Eli Manning beat Tom Brady a couple of times, so that's a big reason there. But even when you've got the likes of Beckham, that sort of thing, they've just always been quite an exciting team to watch. And I think a lot of people are kind of, I know Daniel Jones isn't great, but I think he's still got a lot of room to develop. And I think, you know, if you're looking for a parallel with Tua, obviously Jones picked in the same sort of range, taking a while to develop. I wouldn't be surprised to kind of, you know, talk about the same way that people are talking about Daniel Jones now after 2 years, the same this time next year. So really interesting matchup, that one. I'm quite looking forward to going over. Really hope I can get there and going to do the Florida Keys and stuff, which I've never done. At the same time, Lee, you're going to a couple, aren't you?
Trying. So me and my brother are trying to get to the Tampa game because he is a Buccaneers fan. So a bit of a poophead, but yeah. So he won't mind me saying that. So we're actually going to try and do a little mad trip out there where we're going to fly out on the Saturday and we're going to fly back on the Monday morning.
Absolutely mental. That is just crazy, by the way.
Yeah. Also, the ticket prices are insane for that game right now. We're trying to see if there's something we can do to bring that cost down. But hey, it'll be fun. And then the other games that I'm trying to get out there for is the November 7th game against the Texans, followed by the Thursday night game against the Ravens, because it's just an easy opportunity to get two games into a week. And a week's a decent time to go stay in Miami for. So.
They're both away games, aren't they? Are they away games? No, am I wrong? No?
Well,
no, they're
both the games. Texans and the Ravens?
Yeah, they're both home games. Sorry, I'm reading off the wrong piece of paper in front of me. It's because, I'll tell you what it is, it's because it still gets me when I look at English football compared to America. Just doesn't make any sense. Just put the home game first. And I've been in football mode for a month, so ignore me. But yeah, that'll be decent, mate, won't it? I mean, like the Buccaneers game, I think, was one of the ones I was going to pick for the bit we've just done, because that's a real kind of complete team, isn't it? And what really interests me about the Buccaneers is the fact that I thought they were like pretty average all of last season, and then they just came together at the end. And I think that sort of thing is that if you want to look at the impact the pandemic had last season, the Buccaneers are the key, like the main thing, aren't they? They had to learn to play together actually on the field rather than in the preseason. And thus that's what just gives me so much hope with Tua, with the other guys like Austin Jackson. I'm really hoping to see a massive jump this year. And just that full off season is so important, isn't it? But
it's the true measuring stick, isn't it? It's to take on the team that have just won it all. But you mentioned the Giants and how they've been a fun team to watch. There's the epitome of a team over the years that has been a team that come good at the right time of year. It's not, you know, see the Steelers last year. Doesn't matter how fast you start. It means absolutely nothing if you're not winning it right at the end. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously it's exciting during the season when someone's 10-0, 11-0, whatever. But say if it doesn't result in you picking up the trophy, I wonder how fans feel afterwards, after it kind of comes to that crashing halt. Not that losing's ever good, but I imagine it must really suck when you suddenly hit this kind of downward spiral.
Yeah, you'd,
go on, sorry.
I was going to say you'd rather be Tampa Bay winning their last seven than the Steelers winning their first seven. Definitely.
So.
Yeah, it's fingers crossed that's us in that Tampa Bay situation this year. So are you planning to get out to any this season, or are we sticking with the London game?
Well, I've got no definite plans at the moment, but a couple of options. It's fan club weekend for the Texans game. So those of you who are aware of Mark Angelo, who I think is a member of one of the Californian fan clubs, he organises this trip every year. And it just so happens to be that Texans game that weekend. So if you're part of that, you get discounted hotel accommodation. You get obviously tickets for the game. You get a pre-game party, you certainly attend a tailgate party. You get a party the night before the game. I think there's also a tour of the training facility, I believe, lined up as well for the Monday after the game. So there's a whole range of activities planned for that fan club weekend. So that's a potential opportunity. So Mark Angelo is the contact for that, for those of you that know him. And obviously you've got the Ravens game shortly after on a short week. So that's potential. So I've kind of got half my eye on that, but I don't like to go on my own. So I've got no one to go with, guys.
Lee,
come with me.
Yeah. Well, if you're with your wife, Lee, I don't want to intrude. So it's a family holiday, isn't it?
We can leave her behind us, fine.
Okay, fair enough.
No, we're going to say you'll have to record from out there. I'll sit here and turn the light on above me and pretend it's warm.
take the show on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the other option is a couple of years back, and I've mentioned it before, had the very lucky opportunity to sit and watch a game in a press box with, and that was a fan site initiative that they did for the season. Obviously last year was difficult because of COVID. So hopefully they resurrect that again this year. And if that opportunity presents itself once again, then I might consider that also, but obviously not heard anything about that right now.
Sounds good, man. Right, is there anything else that we want to cover off this week? Fairly short one, but we're really getting to the kind of news in the next couple of weeks, aren't we? All good.
Nice stuff to come.
Yeah, that's it, man. I put a tweet out of my own account earlier in the week. It feels like it's time to get excited, isn't it? It's been like I'm college football as well. It's just gearing up, and you know we're only five, six. Saturdays away from college football, and I think it's seven Sundays from NFL football. So that's going to be something that we've all missed, and something we're going to need.
Just remind me to stay off Twitter when Tua throws his fifth pick of the session in training camp, because it doesn't matter. He's got to get into a rhythm and a routine. But so what if he throws for his fifth pick? You don't know the circumstances. You don't know what they were running. So what if he's thrown a fifth? So if that happens, yeah, just remind me to stay off Twitter for a day or so and let it blow over it again.
What about when Jacoby Brissett runs in six touchdowns against the Bears in preseason? Like, who's going to start?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, right. Good to speak to you both, lads. It's been too long, and we'll get back into the rhythm probably a couple of weeks, and we'll be back into our normal Tuesday slot every week. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, and let's speak to you soon.